And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Kind of wish I was recording that whole thing Pappy was going on about. But. Oh.
Well, if you're recording now, the long and short of it is I'm taking a legalized version of meth so I can pay attention to shit.
So what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm Pappy.
And this is the MethCast, episode 175. We have two guests with us right now. Mr. Bob, or no, Bob's not here yet because I have to explain that. David Sterling and Jason Sorensen of Loot Interactive are here, though. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey. Hi.
This was supposed to be our episode where we got the two audio doppelgangers of David Sterling and Bob Baffy on together, and Bob just sent me a message saying he's in the urgent care with his son, so he may be running late if appearing at all.
Yeah, I think that takes priority.
Yeah, and then a couple hours ago, he messaged me that his house lost power, so he legitimately thinks that somebody's out to get him today.
Oh, geez.
I wonder if it's us.
Nature.
Well, I mean,
just
saying, has anyone seen Bob and David in the same place at the same time?
I've never seen either of them at all. So,
I just want to point out that Bob's missed the last couple because of a last minute emergency. So I'm starting to wonder if we're not just an accidental curse.
He just doesn't like us anymore.
I threw a lawn dart at my child just so I didn't have to be on your show.
Yeah, none of the usual excuses like, it was a bad traffic jam or anything. No, instead it's intensive care, death, dismemberment, Wilford Brimley, the usual.
Wait, because you can't use traffic jams. Like, well, you have a cell phone? Yeah, well, put it on speakerphone,
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm in the ER with my son. He got shot. Oh, my God, did you find out who did it? Yeah, it was me. I mean.
Yeah, I did it.
I don't want to do your show. That's pretty much why I'm doing this. So burn in hell. I'll talk to you guys later. But hopefully everything is okay. Hopefully, fingers crossed, everything is okay.
Definitely. Although I will say, Joe, that you did just quote my resignation letter. But I do hope everything with Bob is cool. And hopefully we'll have him on someday, right?
What's your resignation letter? I shot someone?
The burn in hell part.
Okay.
I don't want to do your stupid show, Burn in Hell.
That's what we hear every week. So since we can't compare voices, we still have two awesome people on the show. So how are you guys doing? How's things in Lootland?
So far, so good. Can't complain. Having a good spring. We just released the Star Trek theme on PS4 for those people who always say, how come you're not doing things on PlayStation lately? Just came out with the best theme on PS4. Star Trek, the original series.
Nice. Tell us about it.
That is a whole story behind it. Because there was some serious nerd rage going on between our group and another group over the various characteristics of the Enterprise. And I found out what a – oh, shit, I just can't remember. What's the name of it again?
The Bussard Collector?
Bussard Collectors. I didn't even know what that is. Do you guys know what that is? Do you know what a Bussard Collector? A Bussard Collector. Do you know what that is?
I don't even know what a Bussard is.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Is it a Picard collector?
It's actually
Petard is.
It's actually that's a racist term. I appreciate it what you said.
Wrong card, sir, but okay.
Okay. Well, Jason couldn't explain it in detail because he explained it in detail to me. But the Bussard collectors are those things on the front that light up on the Enterprise on the two engines.
Yeah, the warp nacelles.
What was that, nerd? What was that? I missed it. What was that?
Yeah, the two warp nacelles. They have the glowy little orbs on the front, and those are the Bessard collectors.
Okay, so who named it and why?
Ready. It's going to hold on. Wait a minute. If you're going to ask that question, I got to get something to eat. And it's because it's going to be a while.
Well, it is St. Patty's Day, so go grab yourself a beer while Jason nerd rages about some Star Trek.
Before he goes off on what the Bessard collectors are and the theories behind the Bessard collectors, what you see on that theme is a true representation of the Starship Enterprise from the original series. That's just not like, hey, we're going to make it look kind of like it. That is it right there.
So this was your work time discussion you guys talked about.
No. This went on for a couple days of going back and forth with building the proper Starship Enterprise.
See, I'm actually kind of jealous that that was your discussion, whereas I had an airman ask me how I approached the concept of anal to my girlfriends. So
it was an airman instead of a seaman.
Yeah, so I'm trying to say, like, you guys have better work time conversations than I do is what I'm getting at.
So how did that conversation go, Pappy?
I gave him my standard response that I fear the anus and walked away.
Yeah, you've been eaten too many times.
I'm too clean mentally to handle the concept of anal sex. I just, can't do it. So, anyhow, on to Bessards.
That's definitely tough for us to talk about. We're going to go.
Yeah.
This is a podcast full of dudes, and we're bringing up anal. Yeah, let's move on.
Wow. You guys don't like podcasts?
We're an inclusive group. You know, we're open to everybody. So some of those people just have to be more open than others.
I'm just saying when it comes to anal, I am not open. Moving on.
Yep. All right. So anyhow, the perfect design for the Starship Enterprise.
Well, suffice to say that, you know, we want to make sure everything is as accurate as possible because the people who are buying it are the same as the people who are creating it, namely fellow nerds. So This is also one of the most iconic, you know, ship designs. Like, this, people have seen this on television over decades. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going back and forth on some of the notes. I was like, well, you know, the nacelles, they should not taper. They should be the same from front to back. Or like, actually, they do taper. From bow to stern, please use the correct terminology. The glowing orbs, they do not have little spinny bits. They should just be solid and red. Roy, you mean the Sard collectors, yes?
No, let me just preface this. I have to fill you in on exactly when this conversation was going on.
7.5 years ago, and it just finished in the past month.
It was
month.
About a month and a half ago, but it was on a Friday morning. Jason got the email came in, and Jason read it in his car on the way to work.
Yep.
I've never seen a human being so angry just walking in the door. Nothing has happened yet at work. He got this revved up. Well, he also drives the 405, so that immediately puts you on a whole different rage level driving to work in the morning in Los Angeles. But then this Star Trek nerd rage reached like an incredible level, talking about things I don't even know what they are, let alone how to spell them. What's a Bessard collector? What are you talking about? He was like, God damn it, this is not the way it is. He's absolutely wrong. And then that was followed by 3 hours of Star Trek research and putting together a white paper on the Bessard collectors, among other things.
I actually misspelled Bessard collector trying to find an image of it.
Where did the long form essay come into this?
Well, the thing is, in order to provide, you know, proper feedback, you must leave no error, no room for doubt. It must be an absolute soul-crushing devastation, scorched earth. You are wrong. I am the level 20 nerd here. And especially since, you know, people can be buying this thing and they want it to be accurate. And the thing is, when we see notes and stuff, and if it's like, okay, you know, we messed up, you know, we'll correct that. That's one thing. But when we get notes where clearly...
Now, Jason, just before you continue the story, just be careful on what you say and how you say it.
Good point. Good point. Very good point.
Please don't go calling people motherfuckers who you shouldn't be calling motherfuckers. Just got to be careful with that.
Suffice to say that it was multiple pages with supporting evidence, documentation, photographs, etc.
Blueprints.
That demonstrated
blueprints of the Enterprise.
I typed in Bassard Collector, went to images, and there, like 1,000 freaking images that are all labeled that this comes up, you know, which is...
Yeah. So what you see on the theme is an actual true representation of the Star Trek.
Yeah. No, you are a fan.
I'm a slight fan. And the thing is, there are other, you know, Trekkies in the office. So naturally we want to cross check and make sure. So we go to other fellow coworkers and we're like, all right, here's the feedback. Take a look. Now, are we sniffing paint thinners or is this an alternate universe? And it's like, no, actually we've done things correctly. So what you,
but we're still sniffing paint thinners,
which led to a 2-hour debate over certain aspects of the Enterprise between one Uber nerd and another.
Oh, you got to do a fight.
It got resolved. It was resolved, as Jason mentioned. But
how many people were stabbed with lead pencils?
Nobody was stabbed.
Oh.
But there was a timeout, and there was a timeout. I had to put one of them in a timeout, and the other one didn't get their cookies that day.
Oh, Jesus.
For rude behavior.
Got to lay down the law. If these kids can't handle their shit and get along together, no apple slices. Fuck them.
It's even beyond kids. Two friends. Friends. Had to be
former friends.
No, current. Still current. But... The discussion of the Bassard collectors and what's the thing on the top of the Enterprise, Jason? What's that called?
Well, there's the bridge dome, which that was a fun little bit where it's like the bridge dome is too bulbous. We're like, really? Here we have multiple photographs of the original model that is currently sitting in the Smithsonian, along with the corresponding blueprints. Take another look. Trek yourself.
This one is hand-signed by Gene Roddenberry, so it's the most authentic one that there is. I'll tell you that this is absolutely the one that you need to do.
You know, you make a joke, Joe, but you make that joke, Joe, but you know, there are plenty of people in the video game world who are just as passionate about, you know, all the things.
I mean,
shit on things, Pappy.
Yeah, I just feel like being politically correct today.
Did you get bored with your statement? Is that what it was?
I was actually looking at a map of Laguna Beach because you guys mentioned
Dragon's
Lair.
Yeah, so you did. I was right. Yeah. You actually did. The ADD kicked in, and you actually
you
got bored of what you were talking about.
And I was thinking I went to California for the first time ever over the weekend, and it was great. And I was like, but I went to the ocean. Where did I go? And then I started looking at the map. And so in this entire conversation, I was trying to find Laguna Beach.
Right. While you were making a statement.
Yes, and this is why I am on ADD medication.
Why is it that the ADD medication is giving you ADD?
It takes roughly 7 to 10 days to fully...
You have never been this unfocused during a show.
Well, that would be the migraine.
You're a migraine.
So you have a migraine and ADD.
Yes, well, I have a migraine from the... Oh, by the way, you can't have any caffeine on this medication.
Migraine-DD.
Did we set you off with the Bizarre Collector discussion?
And to be honest, Joe, I usually am this bad. I just don't actually admit it. I usually attempt to cover myself.
That's why you go to pee in the middle of the show, so you could like try to remember what we just talked about.
I just go and shake my
head. You know you're bored when you...
And you like go outside, go for a walk. 20 minutes later, you come...
I'm stuck on the point where he was like, you can't have any caffeine. I'm like, come on, dude. Caffeine is a food group.
I know. And it turns out...
And what's amazing is please tell Jason about... Please tell Jason what you said about the energy drinks, because that's all he consumes is energy drinks all day long.
When I was put on the AD medication, which is a legal meth, is the long and short of it, they're like, well, you really shouldn't have caffeine with it because, you know, you're taking an upper. You're taking a stimulant, a very powerful stimulant. And I'm like, well, okay, here's what I usually have somewhere from 2 to 5 monsters a day plus coffee on top of that. And the guy, aside from looking horrified, was like, you cannot have any energy drinks on this medication. It will harm you. Energy drinks have too much additives and additional stuff that is very bad for you to begin with. And mixed with this, you could have some serious side effects. So no energy drinks, and I can only have a cup of coffee before noon a day. And that is why I'm miserable right now.
I was about to say, dude, I mean, at that point, that's ritual suicide territory right there. But tell me more about this legalized speed and how do I get a hold of it?
Get ADD.
Squirrel
check.
You missed this while you were trying to get your laptop to cooperate. But what it is I have attention deficit disorder. I don't have hyperactive anything. But what it is my brain basically decided that everyday interaction is not stimulating enough. So it's constantly wandering in search of stimulation. So what this drug is supposed to do is artificially stimulate that portion of my brain so I can pay attention and actually, you know, absorb whatever it is that I'm doing. And then constantly, like, I'm the guy who has the laptop open, watching TV on mute and talking on the phone at the same time.
Nice. What do you think I'm doing?
mine just got bad enough I had to get diagnosed and treated. That's all.
Wow.
I was gonna say, that's not ADD. That's just being a gamer.
That's normal.
But Pappy's not a gamer, so that's the problem.
Yeah, I didn't know that was an issue. Really? That's an issue?
Yeah, the funniest thing is honestly that everyone in my family and friend circle that I've told, oh, yeah, hey, by the way, I was diagnosed with ADD, they just look at me and go, and? It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
thanks.
And today's Thursday. Tell me something new.
Well, it's an issue when you're at work and cannot actually, you know, pay attention long enough to do what you're being paid to do. That's when you're like, okay, now I guess I need to actually.
I have ADD when you're telling stories on this show, Pappy.
I'm not even able to finish a story, so let's move on.
I love a country.
You certainly aren't able to listen to one.
We live in a country where cannabis is still largely illegal, and yet you can get dexamphetamine sulfate with a prescription. This is
Yay.
Brilliant.
Yes.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, Jason, what are you on right now? Dexedrine? All the dexedrine? And do you like the dexedrine?
Il me sangro es no más importante.
Ah, okay. So, who are you right now?
I am Joan of Arc.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
And how's the Enterprise looking? Like your face.
Oh, come on. It's a methylphenidate. Nah, you know, it's totally Ooh. Legal that way.
I went on a methylphenidate date with your mom last night.
Wow, you've been holding that one for a while.
Oh my god, for years.
How long did
years.
That last?
That's been building up.
Okay. That's literally
it was
just
well worth it.
It's well literally worth it, just
so. I'll never forget that moment.
That moment that Joe said a thing and we all chuckled.
It was awesome.
Oh, God. I just heard from Bob. He says, in car headed to pharmacy, you can call me for LOLs. So should we do this?
I guess we can learn what happened.
Might as well. We have no actual agenda today, so.
It certainly won't beat the Bassard collector story.
Not at all.
No.
That was an interesting day of nerd rage. I mean, I probably should not have been operating a motor vehicle when confronted with that level of utter and total just failure with it's the Enterprise. God damn it.
That does bring up the larger issue of whenever someone tries to tell you to make fixes when they have no idea what the fuck it's supposed to be in the first place.
It was definitely an interesting discussion. Suffice to say that, you know, it's like we wanted to make things as accurate as we could be, and we are very passionate about the source material.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, just a tad, you know. And it's kind of like, I mean, shifting to a different sci-fi universe. I don't know if you guys ever watched like Babylon 5 or anything, but there was a fan.
Oh, yeah. I love Babylon 5.
Yeah. Great show, wasn't it? And, you know,
a boy band?
That is Babylon 5 is quite possibly the only show my entire family was capable of sitting down together and watching. Oh, no, wait. Babylon 5 and The Max. If you remember that animated cartoon.
Oh, God. Yeah. I used to love The Max.
For some reason, my mom actually decided she liked that. To this day, I have no idea why.
That confuses the shit out of me because I know your mom.
Yeah.
And that's not a sexual joke. I literally know his mom because I've known him for years.
On the Babylon 5, sorry.
Also so, sexually, well, though.
Yeah, oh, but Jesus. Like, remember the fans, you know, created the Lurker's Guide, which was like the definitive resource for the show. It was way better than any official resource. And, you know, fans get passionate about this stuff. And, you know, we're passionate about it too, especially since it, you know, our name is going to be on it as the publisher on the store. So it's like, we want to make sure that somebody buys this thing. And it's like, yeah, this is the original.
It's the Queen's Arts Haderach.
So what led to you guys getting the rights to do a theme for Star Trek?
Bribery.
I'm sorry. What was the question? Sorry, I missed it.
What led to you guys getting the rights to do a Star Trek theme?
Well, this goes back to our home days. I mean, this is what we do. We go find, you know, big IP and license it for stuff that other people wouldn't think of putting, you know, into a virtual good or a theme, something like that. Because we come from that business, the studio business, the content distribution business. It's like second nature for us to go out and license these kinds of IP and find companies that specialize in signing IP and work with them to bring Star Treks. And then the next one coming out is Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait till you see it. It is awesome. It is an awesome theme.
Oh, my God, that'd be awesome.
And things like that. And so, you know, it's kind of like besides game publishing, we do that and build apps. And so, but that's really second nature for us is to find stuff like that.
It's kind of like when we did the TARDIS. I mean, that was a lot of fun just doing virtual goods like that.
Kind of makes me wish that the Xbox had some kind of way to have purchasable backgrounds or themes like they had on the 360.
360, yeah, because I was rocking the Fallout New Vegas one for
we had that conversation this week, actually.
Yeah, I mean, for real, like, if you guys had that option on, you know, Xbox One, would you be buying this stuff?
Yes.
Probably, yes, exactly. Because it depends on what it is and if I could see a preview of it first. I remember when they still had the themes on the 360, there was a YouTube channel that bought all of them, and they would go through and just show like a quick minute long video of what all the pictures look like. And I would, every now and then, I would spend $3. Fuck it. Let me get a new theme.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's, no, I just watched the Fallout one forever because I'm a whore.
You are a whore. That is very true.
Who can't pay attention?
Here's the, I mean, that's the beauty of virtual goods, you know, is it's something where you're like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. And then you know, you pick it up and it's, you know, not all that much money, but it's something that you get to enjoy for like a long time. And, you know, that's pretty much how Loot got started.
I have a question for you guys. Are you playing a mobile game? Not right now, but are you currently involved in playing a mobile game?
I was for a little bit. I was playing some slots game that just came out on Windows Phone. If I do play mobile games, it's not, I'm not ever anything super involved.
Mm-hmm. I've only been playing Wordament on my phone for the last 3 years. That is literally the only mobile game I play.
What's it called?
Wordament. It's the Microsoft sanctioned Boggle.
Okay.
So Jason? I just play Boggle.
I don't really play mobile games all that much. I played Plague Inc. Because David turned me on.
Yeah, I played.
Really?
Yeah.
But I don't really play much in the way of mobile games. I'm really more, I'm console.
I like console
games.
Yeah.
I mean, I pick up a lot of games for my Windows Phone. It's just 90% of the time I'll play it once or twice, and then I just won't go back to it because I either found something new and moved on to it, or it just didn't engage me the way I wanted. But if I'm only spending a buck on a game, it's usually, I played it 3 times. I got my money's worth out of it.
Mm-hmm. I started playing this Magic the Gathering mobile game. The Puzzle Quest one? Oh, my God. It's got
nice.
Me hooked. It's got me hooked, but it's got a great way of hooking you in and keeping you engaged. But after a while, you start seeing you pull back the curtain on it, and you can see kind of like the dastardliness behind the game itself. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not a true game. It's more of a hook.
Yeah, a microtransaction hook, I guess.
I don't mind that too much, which I'm more than happy to support a developer, especially if I'm playing it a lot. But
yeah.
I want a game. I don't want something that's just got some strategy behind it that is trying to hook me in and doesn't allow me to build a strategy because I'm just in a walled garden of their own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So you can only play it their way?
Exactly. Like do you remember playing Final Fantasy where you could just sit and build up your characters and you could build a strategy around it and the game wasn't so stacked against you that you had to play the way they wanted you to play.
Yeah.
You could do your own thing.
To me, that's the difference between Fable 2 and Fable 3. Now, Fable 2, you could run around, do anything you wanted. Fable 3 was straight on rails, and you could barely go anywhere you wanted.
Yeah, it's rails is one thing, but when you see the game manipulating the game itself to keep you engaged, but not too engaged, because if you outthink the game, then it just raises it changes the game on you.
Huh.
Like, you know, this thing should not be reacting this way. I have no chance of winning. I have no chance because it's stacking the deck so hard against me that even when I know I've got them, I still can't. I can't win.
Oh, that just feels like the Puzzle Quest curse where the computer just blatantly cheats in that game. And
I've seen that on
every Puzzle Quest game that I have ever played.
Exactly what happens.
It's like the computer knows what the gems are above because you'll see them skip what would be an easy like match 5 or something to instead go like a match 3, and then it would cause a gigantic chain reaction where they end up getting an extra turn anyway, and then they get that match 5.
Right.
Like, every Puzzle Quest game I've ever seen.
Yeah, and if the game is reading the gems or knows what the pattern is going to be without seeing it, and it's changing the game on you, then that's not a game anymore.
Yeah.
You're not playing a game because you're not. There's no way that you should know what the gems are that are going to fall because you took a two, you took a plus two instead of the five that was sitting right in front of you. Why?
Yeah,
yeah. There's no way you would have done that unless you knew.
Nobody would have done that. Nobody would have done that unless you knew that you were going to stack up the next six moves on me and I had no chance.
I want to say a couple years ago, the developers released a screenshot for like an April Fool's joke where it had a hidden options menu in the game. And one of the options was to turn off cheating AI.
Nice.
Oh, so, really?
So it's like they kind of casually acknowledge it. I think it sucks. I wish it was truly random what was above the play field, but I don't know. That's one of the reasons I won't play that game on mobile or somewhere that microtransactions are needed. With I know Marvel Puzzle Quest was released on console, came out on the Xbox One a while back, and that doesn't have any kind of microtransactions. It was $15 and you got the game, and it seemed to be a lot more fair. Like, you could still see cheating in it, but it wasn't where it was 100% futile to even try playing.
Well, it's just from a game design standpoint.
Oh, go ahead, Jason.
Well, from a game design standpoint, the moment that you have, you know, a freemium incentive where the game needs you to keep monetizing as you play, it turns into a Skinner box design. It's, we need to keep you engaged enough to monetize, but not enough to where you feel like you've been able to beat the game without investing any money in it. And this trend with mobile gaming, I mean, this is something that we've seen on the rise, and it's going to continue because it's a race to the bottom. It's like, all right, we'll give you the game for free, so discoverability goes up and the barrier to entry is gone. But you know, now the way the game is inherently laid out needs to keep making money off of you as you play, and that's very different from traditional game design.
When you pull back that curtain and you allow the player to see that you will lose no matter what you do, you can't play this game because we won't allow you to. We'll cheat if we have to. Now you've just lost all future revenue that I would have given you because
Absolutely.
It's not a game anymore. I'm not playing a game.
Yeah.
I'm playing some kind of a weird kind of strategy thing.
I'm
that
playing
you guys
a game losing like simulator.
Yeah, it's not even a game. It really is. It doesn't belong in the game category because, yeah, I'm playing a simulation of where I will lose enough, where I will lose enough no matter what I do, but I won't lose to the point where I will give up unless you pull that curtain back. You step over that line and you pull that curtain back and I can see what I just discovered with this game. And that is that it's just a farce.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, this is no longer a game.
I really would have enjoyed to keep playing this game, but now it's ruined for me because it's not a game anymore.
Yeah, that's shitty when it gets to that point in a game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel bad that I gave them money because I did enjoy it up until that point, but now it's a waste of my time.
And that's honestly why I don't get many free-to-play games. I would rather just pay $10, $15, $20, whatever, to have a game and know that the whole game is there and I don't need to pay extra to like buy power-ups to get through it, or I don't have to buy, oh, I completed this stage, I need to buy the next stage pack, or I'm out of lives until 20 minutes regenerate one life, shit like that. I would rather just buy a game and enjoy the game.
Except for that goddamn Frozen game you played every day.
True. That's what I said most of the time. Frozen, I was good enough to have those five lives last me for an hour or two.
Yeah, while I sat there and watched.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, imagine if like Super Mario Brothers was made today. I mean, if it was a mobile freemium game, it'd be like, oh, you want the mushroom? Okay, that'll be $1. You want the fireball flower? Okay, it's a $1.50.
Well, no, you could get it if you can find it. But if you just wanted to begin, we can sell you a 3-pack for $5.
Yeah, and they're consumables. It's
Yeah.
It would be like Nintendo, how they have the, like, if you die so many times in a level where you'll get, like, the infinite hat or whatever that you could just run through without getting hurt, except they would charge you $1 to use that. It's like, are you dying too much? Why don't you buy this power hat for 99 cents and get invincibility through the end of the stage?
After this experience, I don't think any of those are games. Those aren't games. They're just not to me. That's not what a game is. If I want to play a game, I'm more than happy to pay for it, but don't make me buy stuff that influences the game. I bought the game. I'll buy the game. I want to play the game. I want it to challenge me, and I want to get better. It's a vehicle for me to push myself to get better at it, not to pay for it.
Then you have those gray areas where you can pay to get a leg up. One of our friends, Jesus, aka Ian, he's a couple times told the story of how he used to play.
That's his real name.
His real name is Ian. Yeah, we've called him Jesus forever.
I thought you were talking about the real Jesus.
Yeah, the real Jesus. I wish I knew him. He's a big PC gamer.
We're falling out in college.
And, he was talking about how the MechWarrior game. There's a MechWarrior game that's free to play, but they came out with the Clans expansion. If you've ever read the MechWarrior books, you got your Republic, Jason, let's say, of planets, and then these Clans that were humans that were cast out a couple hundred years ago come back and invade with superior technology. Well, you could buy the Clan mechs right off the bat for $10, $20, $30, or you could play and grind to get them. But those who bought them found out they were pretty much guaranteed a win because they were much superior to the point of, like, they could go 3-on-5 and win every time. So wow. You had a free-to-play game that was free and equal until this expansion came out where they just said, hey, you buy the expansion, you'll be able to keep up. You don't buy the expansion, you're pretty much never going to win another fight.
So it was pay to win, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pay to win.
So it was a game. And then at some point the developers went, no, we want more money for this. So they ruined their own game for all the people who were just enjoying it because it was a free-to-play game.
Can you imagine if you guys sold Life Packs and Electronic Super Joy?
Oh, boy. Not a bad idea.
How much money would you guys have right now?
Incredible amounts.
It's a free-to-play game. You could buy a life pack that's $5 for 100 lives.
People would be going through those life packs like candy because...
You still wouldn't finish a level.
Stage. I could beat this stage. It's just another $5. I could do it.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe the world's cool, but we're just used to that stuff being in the game. I mean, it's kind of like, would you buy the Konami code? It's like, well, no. I mean, okay, maybe we all used it when we played Contra because that was the only way to farking win, but they understood that and that was part of the game. It was there.
I'm still excited to say that once upon a time, my mom beat Contra without the Konami code.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, my mom used to be pretty badass back in the day. She was amazing at Tetris.
It's like putting on God mode on Doom, right? It's there. You can do it. But what's the point? What's the point of putting on God mode on Doom?
Some of us just want to see the ending at least once.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only reason why you would do that, because otherwise you're not playing the game anymore. You're just running through the game. You can't die. You have ultimate ammo. You don't even need ammo, right? You just punch people.
What I like doing was
bosses in
putting on the Doom emulator, turning off the emulation and then turning off clipping, hit the up arrow once, so I tap it, and then try and find the map again.
Nice.
That was our college game. Like, if you can find the map, we will pay for your weekend. Like, we'll pay for your food and drinks.
That's terrible.
You could say it because no one would ever be able to find the map again.
It was an unwinnable bet, huh?
Yeah. That's college for you.
Rumor has it there's children still looking to this day.
Try and find a map.
Because, yeah, I mean, just processing, on a little aside, you know, it's amazing how quickly processing power improved, you know, from the time Doom came out. Because this was 99 that we were doing this. We were fucking around on a computer. So from when Doom came out to 99, the processing power was so ridiculous. If you turned off clipping and then, you know, went back into the actual Windows 95 instead of the 3.1 DOS, your Doom guy pretty much went the equivalent of 10,000 miles from the corridor that he was in.
Oh my god!
It is. What game? Kind of sad, just like, yeah.
What games are you guys playing now?
I am playing way too much stuff right now, but I'm putting a ton of time into The Division. I am absolutely loving that game.
What do you love about it? Because I've heard mixed things about it. I've heard that it's the same game, just it's the same thing over and over again. And then I've heard it's the most amazing thing ever.
For me, I'm just enjoying having an open world RPG with shooter mechanics. Like, mm-hmm.
I told Jason to play this game. I told him he'd love it. Because it's everything. I think it's everything that Battlefront was supposed to be.
I mean, Battlefront is, you know, not really a shooter in the traditional sense. It's just loud and dumb, and it's perfect for someone like me. But I love the idea of, you know, skill trees and, you know, more the RPG design elements.
Yeah, this is definitely more RPG than shooter, because in a shooter, you get a headshot, the guy dies. In this game, you get 14 headshots, he might still be alive. It's definitely... RPG mechanics shooter mechanics in an RPG instead of RPG mechanics in a shooter, because enemies have health gauges and you got to whittle those health gauges down.
Yeah. I noticed that. I was actually watching a guy doing a let's play of it today before the show, and he was joking like, "Hey, guy, man, where'd you get your bulletproof t-shirt? I want one of those." he was unloading an AK at the guy's chest, and his health bar was going, you know, just going down like imperceptibly. It's like, what the hell? But, you know, come on.
Well, it depends if it was like a mini boss or a boss character. They have a white bar above their yellow or purple health bar that you have to whittle down that white, I guess, the armor bar first, and then the health pretty much just flies right off.
So that's just like Mass Effect.
Yeah, it's basically what I wanted out of something like Destiny. Because, like Destiny, there's four areas, and then that's it. With The Division, sure, it all looks the same because it's just a giant version of New York, but it's fucking massive. It is huge. There's lots to explore, lots of hidden stuff to find. I'm having fun doing the encounters, doing the missions, tracking down the collectibles. I played co-op for maybe an hour so far, and it was funny enough with Mark Ng of Clapfoot for the game Fortified. The night it came out, I just jumped on and he was playing, and he accidentally sent a party invite by trying to, like, open the map, and we just played for, like, an hour together. And
I like to imagine him cursing himself for that, too.
Do you agree with the statement that this is what Battlefront should have been?
I don't think so, because Battlefront is supposed to just be, like...
Because nobody's playing Battlefront anymore 4 months later. Nobody.
Yeah, that was. I've had coworkers talk about it. Like, oh, is you in a bind? He's like, no. Well, yeah, that was a good idea. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah, for me, I would imagine Battlefront would be faction versus faction fighting, where The Division, at least for me, it's an RPG. It is all about the campaign and the story. And, like, I've barely been in the Dark Zone so far. I went in for maybe, a half hour to check it out. I got in a couple firefights, met some random people. We held off some enemies as a chopper came in to get our supplies. But for the most part, I've just been playing myself. I just want to go through the missions, complete the story, and if I find people to play with, maybe dick around in the Dark Zone some more. But I bought it as a single-player game in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like when I bought, Inquisition? It's like, oh, there's this multiplayer element, and I'm like, yeah, I don't care. I'm in the mood for a single-player RPG.
Yeah, we tried multiplayer element like three times and said, no, this is just, yeah. No.
Yeah. This would be like, imagine if the campaign in Dragon Age was multiplayer. That's kind of like The Division, where you can just team up through the campaign, but there's the Dark World is this whole kind of separate-ish area where it can turn into a free-for-all, but if you attack someone, you pretty much become a marked target for everyone. So going rogue isn't the smartest thing to do, but if you have a good team and you're ballsy enough, fuck it. Take out some new people, steal their shit, get extracted, and have fun.
That's why I don't want to play.
It's kind of like remember Ultima Online, where it was just open PvP and freaking ganking everywhere, and oh, it was brutal.
Yeah, luckily in The Division, if you're not in the Dark Zone, you can't PvP.
Okay.
So you cannot get fucked with.
Do you think that people will be playing that the Division longer than they played Battlefront? Do you think 4 months from now, people will still be playing the Division?
I don't know. It depends on what kind of content gets added. I mean, it's entirely possible that they could make the Dark Zone more intriguing to people like me who. Like, I don't give a shit about PvP. So, that's one of the reasons why I didn't get Battlefront, is because I just don't care about PvP. When I get Halo, I want to play with friends. Or with Halo 5, I love Warzone because it's PvPvE, and I can still have fun going after enemies and at least trying to help out in the PvP stuff, but it's not pure PvP where I'm just going to get my ass kicked constantly. So
no, I'm right there with you. I mean, like, I played Battlefront, got up to level 50, maxed everything, and I'm just like, yeah, but there's no single player campaign. I'm kind of done with the multiplayer, and I'm bored.
Yeah, that's why I stayed away from Battlefield or Battlefront, because there's just no single player. There's nothing there for me.
But yeah, Division, right there with you.
Division is a nice, hefty RPG campaign for me. Is it repetitive? Yeah, but so is every game after a while. You play Final Fantasy for 140 hours, you're going to be killing the same monsters for 100 of those 140 hours. That's just how games are.
Have you played Rainbow Six Siege?
No.
No? Gary, have you?
No, I've watched it played, and I definitely enjoy the gameplay mechanics, but again, it's not something I would get $60 out of.
Interesting. Okay. Because there's no single player on it.
Yeah.
Except for you could play a terrorist hunt, which is like one against everybody, not online, but against bots. But otherwise, it's a multiplayer game that you can't really play without talking to other people.
Yeah, and so I know that's not for me.
That's another
reason. That's not for you.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't have enough friends on the Xbox system that I would be able to regularly hop on and play that game with. And I watching it played in those your Twitch groups, they know each other, they trust each other, and they cooperate. And then you see the moment they get a random guy on, because they didn't have the five guys to fill up the team. Mm-hmm. That random guy can screw things up so fast if they're not on the same page with him. You know, it's definitely a team co-op game.
It's kind of fun because you look at something like Siege, where it's all so highly coordinated, and you drop me off in a game like that, and I would just be full on Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins lasts 1 minute in that game.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, my best experience playing fucking was a Battlefield or. Whatever, yeah, fucking Anyhow, my best experience playing an FPS online was when I hopped on and got randomly matched with some Marines. And like if that happened on Rainbow Six, like fuck yeah, you know, you guys are coordinated to tell me what to do. But yeah, like even if me, Joe, Shiz, a couple other guys hopped on, it would still be a clusterfuck of epic proportions.
To change things up just a little bit, hi Bob.
Hello. You know, I've been sitting on the call for almost 20 minutes now.
Oh, holy my shit. God. I just noticed your message now, and it said, I'm just lurking in the call, and that's why I just started laughing. Oh, my God.
That's
so
the way I like it. I stay really quiet and then barely speak till the end.
So, hi, Bob. How are you?
Good. It's been a little crazy today, but...
How's your son doing?
Well, he's got a... hopefully it's just a lymph node infection, but the doctor was asking if he's been vaccinated because sometimes mumps does that kind of thing. So hopefully it's not that. But he's doing all right. The whole jaw, like one side of his jaw is swollen and in pain. So it's kind of a emergency thing because this morning he said, oh, my jaw hurts. And I was like, toughen up, kid. And then then boom, it blows up. So.
Stop
Shame
feeding
on
him mercury.
Well, no, it's just a better. I think it'll toughen him up if I feed him mercury.
Do you live in Flint, Michigan?
No, we're close though. We're close enough. We're on We're on better water though. We're on Detroit water, which, if you can believe it, is much better than Flint water.
That's their new recruiting ad.
And we live in Los Angeles, and I'm saying that's scary.
Yeah. It really is funny hearing Bob and David talk together.
Yeah.
There is similarity, I have to admit.
Where are you from originally, David?
Chicago.
All right, yeah, see, we both are going to have that Midwest, you know, twang or whatever they call it.
Yeah, plus a series of terrible sinuses have led to this kind of, like, numbing volume and tone. Numbing tone.
Yep.
Serious sinus issues of... mumble mouth, so it's the hand was dealt me. What can I do?
Exactly. I just really hope our listeners this week have no idea who's talking.
Too.
We should have planned it out just so we said confusing things that
just to answer for each other randomly. You know,
right. Hey, now that Bob's on, I don't even have to say anything anymore.
Pretty much. I'll just ask Bob. So, Bob, how's Loot Interactive going?
Fantastic. Everyone's getting bonuses this year.
Nice.
Hey, Jason, you could ask your fake new boss something? I don't know.
It's kind of fun. It's like, hey, man, I got home early. Sure. Bullshit, you're not my real boss. What the fuck? Actually,
that's how you know if your boss has been replaced with a robot, if he lets you out early.
Well, actually, I do take that back. Loot is actually really cool about the way it's structured. It's the governing credo is, as long as you get your shit done, it really doesn't matter. Like, come and go as you want. Just make sure the work is getting done, which is really awesome. I mean, we've got one of our engineers who, as far as we can tell, is a vampire. Because daylight is something that he assiduously avoids. So, you know, it's just that's his natural rhythm. We're like, yeah, okay, cool.
Well, we've already established that you could spend 3 hours arguing about the mechanics of the Enterprise and the Bessard thing, whatever's.
I mean, there's some serious, like, nerd rage.
You get points for even remembering what the first word of that.
It's Bessard because Google corrected my spelling, so I now know that it's Bussard. Yep. And I'll never be able to forget that, even if I want to.
See, I would have went with Bassard.
Bassarde. I don't know why, but I threw an E in there. Dan Quayled it.
Nice.
He invented the internet, didn't he?
I thought that was Al Gore.
I know.
But I mean, how cool is that? Where it's like now it's stuck in your head. Anytime you see a rerun of a Star Trek episode, and someone is there with you, you can be like, "Hey, by the way, That's a Bissard collectors. Yeah.
See, the thing is, I know that I have at least two coworkers that probably knew that already.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they're Trekkies.
Did you know that, Bob?
What a Bissard collector.
I did not. So every time I come on the show, I learn something new. So that's good.
Right. And our other producer that's working on the Power Ranger one is a diehard Power Ranger fan and started spouting off about the different missing characters for the avatars. And we had they obviously sent some kind of like Indiana Jones of Power Rangers to look for pictures of these characters. I still don't even know the names of them, but he knew them. That had to be part of the Avatar collection. Had to be. So we were sitting around waiting for somebody to come back with some pictures of five characters that nobody ever heard of.
Joe.
But had to be part of it.
Joe, were you at MAG when Hex was showing off the Japanese Power Rangers show that was that made a mockery of Power Rangers while also being a Power Rangers show?
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm incredibly interested
it.
Now, though.
I don't even know how to explain it. We should just hit
What are you talking about? I don't
it's
even
like,
know what you said.
It's like a lady who's a martial artist, another girl who's like a cosplayer, and then a dude who's like a high school dropout. They all become Power Rangers, and he was showing the episode where they have the American Power Rangers, like the red and blue American Power Rangers on that episode, but they're making fun of them. Like they talk like, yeah, dude this and dude that, like, and then how the American Power Rangers are weak. And it's like a meta Power Rangers. It's a YouTube show.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I couldn't even wrap my brain around it as he was explaining the thing. But they basically have the best out. Like, I think it's the guy, he's got like the long, like, emo swept over hair. So his Power Rangers helmet has that hair.
Wow. Yeah, so he's got comb over, or he's got comb over?
Like that, yeah, it's like that emo, you know, big sweep comb over.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
he's got the emo flock of seagulls thing going on.
Yeah, on his Power Rangers helmet. So
my helmet feels pain.
Yeah, it's just it was just the most ridiculous. And of course, you know, our buddy Hex was the one who was like, "Oh yeah, I've watched every episode."
That doesn't surprise me.
Do you guys watch a lot of Twitch?
I'm a YouTuber.
I watch a handful of Twitch. It's usually when it's late and I'm bored and I want to play something, but I don't want to play something, so I'll watch someone play something.
I probably do close to an hour a day on average of watching YouTube gamers, like their compilations from yesterday and that stuff.
Bob, do you watch any Twitch?
You know, I haven't. I was going in some of the iDarb stuff just to harass people with hash bombs that they hadn't seen before, but no, I really haven't. You know, my Twitch is watching my kids play through games that I don't have time to play.
I was wondering what you guys thought about an app, entertainment portal that was basically born to have streaming gaming content, now start to integrate non-gaming
how Twitch now has a cooking channel?
Cooking, poker. Which is more towards gaming, but yes, cooking. They're running a Julia Child marathon.
Our friends do Mint Potion TV on Twitch, where they compose music live. And
I think that's fantastic. I really do. I think it's an evolution for Twitch. Of course, we build Twitch on PlayStation, but I think the introduction of that kind of content is fantastic for the community.
It feels like, because it's all community created, it feels like the early days of, like, if you want to go way back, like local cable, where you just needed a couple of bucks and a camera, and you could just put stuff on television. Uh-huh. And I kind of dig it. You know, I mean, I'm certainly not the best of the target audience, but I love the idea that someday I could just entertain myself watching other people being entertaining, you know, not having to log on or not having to turn on cable TV. I just turn on Twitch. You know, I would like to see like a stand-up comedy or even, you know, just some, it's like a local group, like an Austin or a Chicago stand-up crew going, hey, we're going to be performing. If you can't make it, we're going to put it on Twitch. You know, that would be really cool.
Yeah. Sorry, Bob, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say that's a great idea. I'm a big comedy fan. I hadn't even thought of that, but that's a perfect progression to have an online audience watching, you know, a small little improv group or stand-up sketch group.
Wow.
Oh yeah, no, improv especially, even because you're Twitch, so you could have somebody actually taking suggestions from the Twitch audience.
You just have to wait the 45 seconds for the delay.
It could be done. You know, it could be done. If you have a Twitch moderator, say, hey, you know, our next theme for our you know, our next set of stand-up is going to be beaches. Throw out a couple of ideas on a beach. You know?
Asshole, asshole, asshole beach, asshole beach.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, there
fuck
will be
your
that.
Mom beach.
Your grandma beach.
Shit beach. Oh, shit asshole beach.
Right now I'm watching a rerun, obviously, of Julia Child, which is in black and white, and has to be from the 60s. And there's 4,291 people watching it right now.
And how many people in the chat are bitching that it's not in color?
None.
Really?
I'll read you the chat. It smells like poo, tomato. Get fresh basil. This is capital. Fresh basil is the stuff you need. Rip potato. Hoy, hoy, hoy. Dick cheese. Sell out. Parmesan.
Sell out? Yes. Julia Child, you sell out. Like, what?
Stick a cork in your cheese hole. Tomato or pesto. Kraft Parmesan cheese. OMFG. So many ingredients. That's the chat. Okay.
Yeah, that's enlightening. Yeah.
Joe, why do we not do Twitch?
I watched a 50-year-old rerun of a woman cooking, looks like she's making chocolate. Who cares?
One episode of our show is just going to be an hour of us reading the chat to one of those streams.
That would be awesome.
And then the other person could explain what's happening, and I'll have the episode like hard pan to the right and the left. So if you're only listening to one channel, you hear the narration of what's happening. And if you hear the other channel only, you just hear the comments as they come.
There's a guy on Twitch who does speed runs of Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. Legend of Zelda. Yeah, Majora's Mask. I don't know if you've ever heard of that game.
I heard it. Niche title.
Yeah. He does speed runs of that game. And it is, you can't turn it off. Can't turn it off for a lot of different reasons. I mean, and none of them have to do with the game itself.
Oh, God.
It's irrelevant. Got a gun to your head.
The game is irrelevant at that point. It's just a vehicle for the entertainment of everything else around it. I can't turn it off. I wait for it to come on.
Oh, God.
I've never played the game.
Is it like entertaining stories, or is it just like one of those train wrecks so bad that you can't stop watching it kind of streams?
It's him interacting with the community, and then the community, some trolls, but it's good trolling that causes it to it increases the entertainment of the channel itself. The trolling of him not realizing that he's being trolled is fantastic.
Oh, God.
Fantastic. And then you try to get him so upset with his run that he quits. He resets.
Oh,
and
God.
If you can do that, you're a legend. If you can get him to quit, like, oh, you could have done better, you know, and you start playing against his insecurities. Fantastic.
So how many times have you won?
Oh, I made him. Well, I can't say that I have made him, but I was helping push him into resetting, and he did. And that was fantastic.
So like, is that officially more wins than you have on Ice Prime's channel?
Yes, there are zero wins.
Still no win.
Still haven't won anything. Approaching almost a year, still no wins.
God damn. One day you'll get your harmful grips. Don't worry.
And people wonder why I don't go to Vegas.
Hey, there's more to do than gamble here.
Like, yeah, hookers.
Speed. Legalized speed.
Yeah, Jason, yeah. The speed. You have to send him some of that.
Turns out that shit's a phase two controlled substance. Like, it came like.
Don't send it.
The container was taped closed. Like, you know, the pharmacy bottle? The pharmacy bottle was taped closed, and no joke, it wasn't like, oh, here, take this as needed. Da, da, da. It was like, take this for 10 days before your next appointment. Here are 10 pills.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Those are always fun.
You could spare one or two.
All the pain I'm going through of detoxing from caffeine, hell no.
Oh, my God. So, Bob, you were at a pharmacy. Did you get anything good?
No, unfortunately. It was just all for the kid. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't need all of them, does he?
That's true, but it's antibiotics and, you know, some pain kit. Well, it's not any – it's ibuprofen, so I don't even think it's – yeah. That's kid stuff. You can't.
Yeah.
I'm the one sitting over here hoarding my meth and my muscle relaxers.
What's the name of the meth? The meth type joke?
Concerta.
Concerta.
Yeah, it's basically just.
Write that down.
It and Ritalin are like the same thing, basically. Two sides of the same coin.
So they rev you up to try and get you to concentrate? Is that what it is?
Yep. And then because of other physical ailments right now, I was given muscle relaxers to take before bed to wind me down.
Wow.
So, I wish muscle relaxers worked on me. They don't do shit for me.
I took one an hour ago, and I think we can tell it's working pretty well.
I for some reason, medication has always had very little effect on me. Like, when I hurt my back at work the one time, they gave me muscle relaxer and something else. The first time I took it, it made me woozy. The second time, nothing. And from then on, it did nothing.
The first time I took muscle relaxer, my legs only existed when I was looking directly at them.
I wish I could get something like that that would actually affect me. At one point, I was taking, like, 4 doses of morphine to try and help with back pain, and it wouldn't do anything.
And fun fact, when you take that much morphine, you don't poop.
Very true. That is actually very, very true.
Wow. It sounds like
it hurt.
I thought that's just all you need to do to cure that, even when you're on morphine, is go to Shakey's.
Yeah, Shakey's will actually take care of any pooping problems.
Yeah,
is that the all custard ice cream?
No,
what comes out of you. That's what comes out.
Okay. You will experience dysentery, the likes of which even Oregon Trail has never seen.
See, I could like accurately explain some of the bad things that have happened while I was taking morphine. And it's like a rock and then a draining pool.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Shakey's. We do that every week at Shakey's.
So is it more or less effective than White Castle?
Oh, no. White Castle's gourmet food compared to Shakey's.
Shit. All right. Next time I go to California, apparently I got to
find
Shakey's.
We'll send you pictures. I think we're going tomorrow. So we'll show you.
Here's the thing about Shakey's.
Send pictures of the food, not the aftermath.
Oh, no. Listen, you gotta take the good with the bad. This is like real life.
Yeah, the thing is, before you enter a Shakey's, you know, pizza parlor, you smell the grease, you smell the unhealthiness.
Oh, this is pizza.
You,
They actually serve Jason. Jason gets a medium cheese pizza because he doesn't. That's what he gets there. He likes the cheese pizza. And they brought it out to him, but they forgot to bake it.
Wait, what?
How do you forget?
To actually cook it. It was the. I'm like, Jason, you got to send that back. It's not cooked. He's like, fuck it. He ate it.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
You ate a raw dough pizza.
Just ate raw dough and tomato sauce and cheese.
Look, all I can say is, you know, you get back to the office and then the rumbling starts.
Gangster. Yeah, the guy's gangster.
Your stomach baked it, right?
He didn't let them make a decision for him. He made his own decision. He's like,
hey, Bob, now I gotta know. Bob, do they have a Shakey's near you?
They don't. I've only heard stories like this, so I will never go to one when I. All
right. So then, what's your equivalent?
We're going tomorrow. We go back there every week.
So what's your equivalent up in Detroit, Bob?
Oh boy. See, now I was gonna say White Castle, but
Bob, American or Lafayette? Which one?
Ooh. Lafayette.
Yeah. I agree.
Good.
I'm lost on that one.
I don't even know what just happened.
There's two hot dog places right next to each other in Detroit.
Oh.
Okay.
They were all. I don't know the exact story, Bob. So they were owned by the same family, and yep. Somebody got in a fight with each other, and they opened up a competing hot dog place right next door. And yep. It's been that way for how long? How many years?
Oh, that's a great question.
A thousand years. They were like Egypt.
Well, it's like 1917 is American. So it's been almost 100 years. I think those guys have been around.
Jesus.
And it's Coney Dog. So it's, you know, kind of that real mysterious chili. I'm making air quotes right now. Chili. Chili dogs, they're great, but
and you either like chili or the other. You don't like both.
That's right.
Like in Philly, it's Pat's and Gino's cheesesteaks. They're right across the street.
We were just talking about food wars last week on the show because we have in our area there's two pizza places, Delo's and Toosie's, and it's like straight up gang warfare between the two. You can one. Or you can like the other, but you cannot like both.
Joe, this picture you just shared, Pat's and Gino's is across the street. These guys are quite literally next door to each other.
Yep.
There is no building.
Holy shit. So do people like get into fist fights when they see someone walking into the other one?
I know. I think so.
The owners who I think get upset about it. I everybody I've gone with is just there's people who will do it and go to both of them just to compare them.
Yep.
So
I've done that.
That's cool.
I've done that, and it's a clear. There's a clear winner. There's a clear winner. Lafayette is better.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, Lafayette is less flashy. They kind of you can see that from the picture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look safer, but they're both, you know, they're both going to give you diarrhea.
Yeah. American's more of a diner. They spend a little more money on their decorations.
Right.
Lafayette, straight up gangster.
Lafayette doesn't fuck around. They're
just Gino's.
Fuck around.
I can't speak for what kind of indigestion you get at Pat's or Gino's because I never ate there sober. So I could never know if it was the food or the booze. All I know is that I think it was Gino's. If you took too long to order, they just skipped you.
But both of them are fine dining compared to Shakey's.
if you want to get a sense of just how bad the Shakey's pain and suffering and misery is, go on YouTube and just do a search for Jinxers Takes a Dump. It's the only way that I can explain it. It's a cat taking a dump that goes on for about 10 years. And trust me, that's what it feels like about 4 hours after you've eaten Shakey's. The pain, the misery, the contemplation of one's place in the universe.
So this is a great place to take
Jason's
someone off
favorite
date.
Video.
Oh yeah.
If you want it to be the only one you go on with that person, yes.
Yeah.
Jinker, yeah. Jinxers takes it up.
Jinxies. Yeah, it's Jason's favorite video.
Oh, I type in Jinxer and it just pops up. And I didn't have to type in anything else. Just Jinxers takes it up.
How many views does it have? Because 90% of those are Jason.
Oh, that's from fucking
from date movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was okay. So. Sad fact, my brother bought this movie because he liked it, and to this day I don't understand why. That is loud as hell.
Jinxes.
It's never not funny.
I think it's the Spanish version or something.
Yeah,
that's better. That's better.
That is Shakey's.
Mm-hmm. That's actually loot on a Friday on an afternoon after shake.
Oh my lord! Oh my lord!
So this movie, the only two times I laughed was during that scene, and then the other scene when Allison Hannigan jumps on a motorcycle, and it cuts away to the stunt double, you know, revving the bike and driving off, but the stunt double is like a 6'3" black woman. No. That's the only two times. I had to watch that entire freaking movie when I was with my brother once, and those are the only two times I chuckled. So.
Have you guys seen? Speaking of movies, have you guys seen Age of Ultron? The Avengers movie?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I haven't yet.
In the beginning, this is not a spoiler.
I don't care. You can spoil it. I don't give a shit.
In the beginning of the movie, they're attacking this base, this Hydra base. And they're all attacking, and it's the Avengers, and they're kicking ass. But at some point, Thor flies in and lands on this like elevated platform where he's surrounded by bad guys. And of course, he starts kicking the shit out of all of them, which is he gets in a fist fight with five guys, which I don't understand that. But then the ultimate ridiculous thing happens: one of them punches Thor in the jaw.
Why?
What is that? Who wrote that? It's Thor.
Yeah.
What are you trying to accomplish by hitting him, punching him?
Now his fist is Thor.
You're fired.
I go to bed.
Who writes that one of the Hydra cronies tries to punch Thor in the face?
I think that, but that's almost like just the easiest way to show how incompetent and overmatched they are. You know, they thought it would be a good idea to punch an Avenger. You know,
it's Thor.
Well, I mean, it could have been worse. Someone could have tried to tackle the Hulk.
There's only one move you have when you hear that the Avengers are coming, and that's run.
Get the fuck out.
We just
heard what that one move is.
It's a group of mass murderers with superpowers.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, then you got the Superman movie where it's not even a group. Just, you know, aid.
Yeah.
It's genocide. Oh, yeah. I don't care much for the new Superman. I mean, I volunteered. I'm going to go see and actually review the Superman versus Batman because I'm curious.
Yeah, I
also think it's really stupid that they did the whole Superman doesn't give a shit about casualties now. You know, and the director defended that. Like, no, Superman has. What's that?
Sorry. I don't know what the story is behind it, but the battle with Batman must last 4 seconds.
It's a 2.5-hour movie. They've already acknowledged that you will see Wonder Woman and Aquaman and possibly the Flash cameo in it. And there's the Superman-Batman fight. But the actual enemy is Doomsday.
Yeah,
2.5 hours.
Yeah. The fight with Batman must last 3 minutes.
We actually saw the whole fight in the preview.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's where he drives into the wall and he's like, get out. And that's
the dawn of Justice League, right? I mean, it's the beginning of the Justice League.
Yeah, and what annoys me, though, is they already did that really, really well and really fleshed out, and it was called Justice League to the animated series. And it was really awesome. Yeah, and then they did Justice League Unlimited, where but the problem was the networks were canceling everything after two seasons. So you had Justice League was amazing. It was really in depth of the original seven. Then they canned it. Well, they went, okay, well, fuck it. Let's do Justice League Unlimited. Two seasons of amazing, you know, multi-episodic story arches with. They went deep into the catalog. They had like the Question as a main character for two episodes. Like, just they went deep into the catalog, and then that got canned. So 2 years later, they're like, "Well, how about Justice League, Young Justice, all the sidekicks?" And they did that for two seasons, and again, multi-episode arc. Like, the second season was a 26 episode arc for one storyline, and then they canceled it because Cartoon Network decided it would be better. Because there were love interests, it wasn't enough for boys and kids, so they made Teen Titans Go instead.
And this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah. Fortunately, that CEO was fired, but it doesn't solve the fact that that show was canned.
So yeah, video games.
Yeah. So eventually when we have the Superman versus Batman tie-in, your job as Batman will to just be like catch civilians as they're falling from the fucking buildings that Superman's knocking over. Like, that's going to be a minigame.
Better than flying through hoops, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's been the real problem with, you know, a lot of the superhero films is people are like, wait a minute, this is PG rated, and yet the devastation being depicted here, and maybe that'll change with, ironically, Deadpool, which
it already
in
has.
Terms of like superhero,
they announced that there will be a Batman Superman Blu-ray R-rated release when it goes to Blu-ray.
I'm sure it'll just be violence related, but
they're just gonna like sub in a couple of F-bombs in the background.
Fuck you,
fuck
Superman.
No, it's just going to be a background character. Get the fuck out. Oh, fuck, we're all dead.
That'd be a nice callback.
Isn't it weird that, I mean, Deadpool was, you know, the most believable as such because it had the smallest scope in terms of violence. Like, the end of the world, no, that's not what this film is about. It's basically a fight between two dudes because one of them won't say the other guy's name. And yet... somehow it's like way more relatable and believable compared to, okay, we're going to have a PG-rated film in which cities are being leveled.
X-Men Apocalypse, PG-13, end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks good. I can't wait to see that.
I hope it'll lead to more game developers taking risks with M-rated superhero games. Because, like, look at something like X-Men Wolverine. Like, that was an awesome game, and it embraced its M rating with the violence.
Yeah, terrible.
You can't release an M-rated game. You just can't.
Sure you can.
No. I mean, if you want to do it right, you do AO.
But I'd buy it if it were
EC.
A good game.
I mean, I'd say the best Batman video game that I've ever played is not a Batman game. It's fucking Shadow of Mordor.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's,
you know, same studio, and, you know, you look at it and you go, well, this is basically the same mechanics as the Arkham series, but once you play Shadow of Mordor, it's like, well, fuck, I can't play any of the Batman games anymore. I can't play any of the Assassin's Creed games anymore because this is just better.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what Deadpool is doing to superhero movies?
I hope so, honestly. Don't get me wrong. I love the Avengers films, but there's what we're showing is that you can do like a side series of our movies, and they could even do their own little universe. You know, they could. Sony owns all the mutants. They could do Deadpool and Cable. They could put an R-rated Wolverine out and just have like the adult universe off to the side.
Didn't they already decide that the final Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman is going to be R?
No, I haven't heard that.
I thought they made the call after Deadpool that they were going to make it R-rated.
Okay. Okay, well, which is good, because a Wolverine movie should be R.
He could finally cut a bitch.
That's just is they keep cutting away from like acts of mass destruction, and the body count is insane. And it's like, how is this PG written? No, stop that. Stop playing down to us as an audience.
I'm with you on that.
I blame The Notebook.
That's always a good one to blame a go-to.
I think everything would have been better if they had actually released the early 90s Fantastic Four.
Don't say shit like that.
The Roger Corman version?
Yeah. Because we actually, my dad was on the lookout for that movie for 3 years because we rented a movie and it had the trailer for the Roger Corman Fantastic Four. And my dad was like, holy shit. And then for years, he was like, hey, did you hear anything about that?
Do you know how bad that movie is?
Have you seen Rise of the Silver Surfer?
Now, wait a minute. Now, okay. I realize that is a terrible movie. But when Silver Surfer comes on the screen, it's almost worth watching the movie for. Because they did do that right. They made the Silver Surfer himself.
Yeah, and they made Galactus a particle
star. I don't disagree with you. Believe me, I'm a long, long time Fantastic Four fan. That movie stinks. But the Silver Surfer was the best part.
Yeah, but what I'm just saying is, you know, there were no superhero movies when that Roger Corman one was made. You know, my dad was excited because it was like, holy shit, my comic book dreams are coming true. You know, he wasn't worried as this good or bad.
I get it.
He was just like,
I get it.
Movie.
But what they've done to the fan, hopefully somebody will fix the Fantastic Four, because at one point that was Marvel's biggest that was Marvel's biggest IP.
Well, the problem is the Fantastic Four is inherently goofy. Even the comics, they embrace a certain amount of silliness. Like, I'm not saying a laugh a minute, but they knew the Fantastic Four universe is like the cleanest, most family friendly and goofiest.
Reboot. Most PG one you could, the most PG you could do, but like the wedding of Reed and Sue was an amazing story back when it came out.
Yeah, but not in the movie.
Terrible, such a disappointment. But the Fantastic Four as an IP has some amazing stories.
But again, wouldn't you think that would maybe just be a better video game? Just don't stop trying to make a movie out of it and make a game.
Yeah, it would be a great game, I think. But because, you know, I think one of the things about the Fantastic Four is that what you're really waiting for is Thing versus Hulk, because that is what you—that is the ultimate Fantastic
but
Four.
But we won't get it until Sony gives up the rights to.
It's Fox. Fox has.
Fox. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and that's why Marvel stopped making Fantastic Four comics, because they're hoping to reduce the value to the point where Fox sells them the rights back.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree we did dodge one massive cinematic bullet, which was you're going to picture it as soon as I say it. Nick Cage as Superman.
Oh, God.
All I want to do is I do want to point out that I tweeted 3.5 years ago about how much of a great idea it would be to have Ben Affleck as Batman. So I would just like to go on record. I was drunk.
So this is your fault.
I was drunk and I was watching Dogma. So I believe my full tweet was something like, Ben Affleck as Batman, Jason Mewes as the Riddler, and Kevin Smith as the Penguin. That might have been, you know, but I was 1 for 3.
The rest of that is pretty solid casting.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd still watch that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to give it a chance. I mean, you remember when the Michael Keaton Batman film came out and everyone was like, Michael Keaton, this guy's a comedic actor, why the hell is he playing Batman? And then he nails the role.
Every single Batman movie started with, oh my god, that guy, you know. and most of them worked.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm hoping, but
I just like how you guys are all nerding out about movies, and Bob and I are just sitting here quietly, waiting for this to blow over.
I feel bad because I occasionally see Bob's, like, you know, on Skype, the square lights up when you're talking. I see Bob's, like, flicker, so I'm like, did he want to talk or did he just sigh into the mic?
He just whimpered quietly to himself.
I'm sighing. My sighing is the shame that I still have not seen Deadpool yet. I kind of
You'll
enjoy. Well, you have kids that like to get, you know.
Oh, it's infections. A family-friendly movie. Go for it.
No,
my son did ask if he could watch it. My oldest, he's like, why can't I see that? I'm like, well, I can't really explain why you can't, but you can't. Let's go see Zootopia instead.
I still want to see Zootopia, so you know, you got a leg up on me.
That's a good one. I like that. I'm really kind of impressed with how Lasseter turned Disney animation around. Well, not just him, but I think he was kind of the impetus of that to bring Disney back to at least a better state of animation.
Yeah, computer animation. No more direct-to-DVD sequels like Aladdin 7.
Right.
Well, they did put out a new Lion King direct-to-video.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my God.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, my niece was watching.
Why not make Ghostbusters while you're at it?
Oh, wait.
Oh, boy.
I'm excited for the new one. So,
am I.
I mean, you see that trailer that they released. And it's like a funeral. It's a dirge.
I think the trailer tried way too hard.
Now, but go watch the fan cut trailer.
The fan cut is really
good. Yeah, we watched it.
Yeah, that one was good. But yeah, no, trailers. I give out an award at the end every year, which trailer was the worst, you know, and that's the hardest one to give out because there's always so many competing. Honestly, if you wanted to say, hey, go make a good trailer. Go watch the Mad Max trailer. That's a good movie trailer.
I mean, I like the trailers that just don't give away the whole movie. Like 10 Cloverfield Lane. Like that's a good trailer.
Yeah.
You know, like it's really interesting and it gets my attention, but it doesn't really tell me what the film is about.
Yeah, because it still has people going, is this a Cloverfield sequel or just shares the name? And I'm like, that's a good trailer because if you can't even answer that basic question off the trailer, you did the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyhow,
God, you remember last year when we were all just like collectively losing our minds and our bowels over every little bit of new Star Wars Force Awakens footage?
God.
There's a lot of shit conversation in this episode.
Jason, that didn't happen to me. I didn't lose my shit waiting for Star Wars. Sorry.
Okay, so maybe I'm alone.
No, I was very excited, but I don't.
Hey, guess what?
I do so
guess
much
what?
Film.
I still haven't watched it.
What?
What? Even I got to draw the line there.
Joe's too busy playing video games to go to movies.
Joe, you haven't seen Star Wars?
Nope. Huh. Here's even crazier. Even crazier. I'm okay with that.
You live in Afghanistan.
I'm okay with that. My life is not any worse off because I didn't go see it yet.
I have a coworker who's a great dude. And funnily enough, he's one of the biggest nerds at work. Like he's just, you know, he loves D&D and video games and all of that stuff. He only wears like shirts with like, you know, nerd humor kind of stuff, but he's never seen a single Star Wars movie or a single episode of Star Trek or any Doctor Who. He's very proud of being, you know, anti-popular, but still a nerd at the same time. And you know what?
I'm not sure I can respect this human being.
Well, that's the only one who knows him personally. He's one of the best guys I've ever worked with.
Star Trek, okay. No Doctor Who? Nah.
What was the shirt on wore at MAGFest to annoy people? It was a Dalek, and it said R2-D2, I loved him in Star Trek.
Oh, boy.
He had that shirt made specifically so he could wear it to MAGFest and troll people.
See, here's the thing. That's classic trolling. I give him that. But true nerds don't attack Doctor Who.
Well, true nerds don't attack anyone's fandom. They just
How can you attack something that's been around since 1963?
I'm a Doctor Who fan, but I can point out that some of the plot lines are silly, some of the storylines are terrible, and the special effects, you have to overlook the shoestring budget.
Yeah, but still that's every Godzilla movie that's ever been made.
Yeah, and I have a friend who can tell you about Godzilla monster and how they fucking, what their abilities were. You know, he overlooks the sheep because he loves Godzilla.
Jason, what's a Godzilla movie?
All right, the Godzilla movie, the one that you must watch. It will put a chest on your chest. It is such a brilliant film. It is called Godzilla Final Wars. This film was made back in 2002, I believe. It's Godzilla on a $20 million budget. It has freaking Power Ranger ninjas having gunfu battles on motorcycles. It has giant robots. There's UFOs. There's Cylon skin jobs. And oh, by the way, Godzilla finally shows up after chilling out for like 45 minutes. It has every monster ever invented. It is simply... Oh, and Don Fry shows up to smack people around with a katana. You have to watch this movie. Because there is a flying submarine with a laser drill for a nose. You have to see this movie.
Bob.
We started watching it, and it felt like it was it felt like Andy Warhol's Empire, that it's 8 hours long, it never ends. As soon as, like, remember when you were kids and you'd like do fake stories and pretend and you'd like, oh no, and then this happens and then that happens and then we're okay and then we survive. Remember that you did that, kind of did that as you were a kid. That's what this movie does. It just keeps going. It just keeps going, and you're like, we've been watching, what day is it? You don't even know what day it is after a while. It's like, are we still watching the same movie?
I will ask my friend, he probably has it on DVD. I can borrow it off
and of. Here comes Don Fry. Don Fry?
The Don Fry is what confuses me.
Hey, Bob, can you somehow incorporate a flying laser shooting submarine into IDARP?
Yes, and Don Fry comes in. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, in a leather trench coat, right?
Leather trench coat with the katana, and he has one of the greatest lines where he gets the alien warlord in the Independence Day UFO on the line, and he says, listen, kid, there are two things you don't know about the Earth. The first is me. The other is Godzilla. This film... This film simply understands that the best type of movie is a film that has absolutely no internal logic. Every action trope for the last 30 years, just throw it all together into a blender and see what the hell happens. It's brilliant.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, Don Fry's mustache has a credit in the movie.
It actually does.
Jesus Christ.
Mustache needs to have its own like movie series,
credit.
its own franchise.
It's its own credit. Mustache, Don Fry's mustache. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, you have to see this movie.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know if it's on Netflix.
No,
but
it's not.
Fuck.
It might be on Crackle.
It's on Crackle.
Yeah. Oh, God, even better.
That's where we watched it. We watched it.
Wow.
Yep.
And then I'll get commercials, too.
It just adds to the nuance of the movie itself, because when you start seeing Save the Manatees commercial after watching ninjas fight samurai fighting like cave dwellers, then you understand what the experience is all about. Because once you've watched all that and then watched a PSA for Saving the Manatees, you've really done something.
This movie is just one of the greatest films. They're like, why are there ninja Power Rangers having gunfu battles on motorcycles? Well, why not?
So we are an hour and 40 minutes in, and we are
We've successfully talked about
buoys for 40 minutes, so I am very happy.
I don't know what the hell we accomplished so far.
Well, you said bring the bullshittery. That's exactly
very,
what we did.
Very, very true. Bob, do you have any bullshittery to add?
I brought a bullshittery master with me, Jason Soares. Yes.
I am a Taurus, and we talked about shakies. That is bull.
We're just talking
shit
over Bob again. Bob, you need to be more forceful. Just punch someone.
I can't today.
He's had a hard day. It's been a long day.
Oh, yeah, and I'm speaking to some high school students tomorrow, like at 7 in the morning. That's going to be lots of fun.
Oh, my God.
About game.
Well, you've been speaking to some kindergartners for the last 2 hours.
You're going to be talking about game development?
Yeah, I call it my break them down and then build them up speech. I kind of give them the reality. These kids
to always build them back up, or do sometimes just break them?
Sometimes I run out of time, and then it's just break them down.
How many times do you hit them?
Fuck you and fuck your dreams. That's my time. Have a good one.
That's the short version of it, but yeah. I stole this from Kevin James, a guy I used to work with. He gave a speech that was just the funniest thing, and it was in at a technical school here in Michigan, and there must have been like 200 people sitting there, and he's like, how many people here want to work on Halo 4? This was like a while ago. And everyone's just like, yeah, and he's like, well, too bad. You're working on My Little Pony. And everyone just goes, oh, and then he just proceeded to dismantle, like, yeah, you're gonna have to work on games you might not want to work on in order to, you know, cut your teeth and get credits there. So I'm gonna do something similar, but maybe not as mean.
So let's discuss tomorrow's plans. Tomorrow, Bob, you're going to go crush the dreams of children.
Yes,
nice. The loot boys are going to go destroy their insides and shit everywhere. Pappy is going to deal with migraines. And my wife decided that tomorrow would be the best time to schedule me for a doctor's appointment. That way I could celebrate my birthday at a doctor's office.
Ooh, that's nice. Tomorrow's birthday?
Yeah.
Don't worry, Jill. Nice. On the way home, she'll give you a lollipop for your birthday.
Yeah, right.
Being a good little patient. No, tomorrow is the first Friday I'm not doing a movie review in a while, so I've decided to celebrate by writing two papers for college. Because fuck.
And you don't even go to college.
Yeah, no, I'm just doing this. No, I'm two classes away from finally getting my bachelor's after, you know, 17 years of going to school.
Congratulations.
So. Yeah, that is something to be proud of, dude. It's hard. It gets harder and harder the more you go. I've had a friend who just got her bachelor's the same way.
The only downside is I have 10 papers due in the next 7 weeks, culminating in the 17-page capstone paper that, fortunately, I get to pick my topic. So I'm going to talk about this will interest you
shakies
guys. the society with online. I could probably make a better sentence than that. But how
look at that paper.
How society has changed due to stuff like YouTube, Twitch, and all of that, and why we're more accepting of deviancy, such as doxing and swatting and trolling, and why that's become a normal part of life. So,
it sounds like a really kind of cool paper.
Yeah. Good luck with it. I just need to find 12 peer-reviewed topics. I'm like, well, that's going to be a struggle. Yeah.
What movie did you review yesterday? What was the last movie you reviewed? Sorry.
Well, I was supposed to do 10 Cloverfield Lane last week, and I completely bobbled it. But I gave London Has Fallen. Our website gave the first F of the year because I gave London Has Fallen an F.
Nice.
And then before that, I gave Gods of Egypt a D.
So what was so bad about London Has Fallen? I don't even.
Yeah,
what
that
movie is that?
Pretty good.
It was
a Lucas Has Fallen sequel.
Yeah. Well, one, White House Down was much better than Olympus Has Fallen. The wrong movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the wrong movie got sequeled. Olympus Has Fallen. I love war movies. I got to start with that. I mean, I burned I screen burned my first TV because I would watch Black Hawk Down every night, and when I woke up, the menu, you know, was on.
I just want to just clarify, you said Black Hawk.
Honk. Yeah, what
and not your
like?
Usual Black Cock Down.
Black Cock Down. Black Hawk Down, you know, American Sniper, stuff like that I love, but London Has Fallen is all the worst of the Hoorah America. Like, it was just like, oh, you know, Gerard Butler is fucking stabbing a guy. Why? He deserves it. He's torturing a dude. Like, not to get information, but just torturing him. Even the guy playing the president's like, is that necessary? It fucking is. You know, it was just violence for violence's sake. The story was, again, you had to assume that everyone in the world is functionally retarded in order to pull off this plot line. Like, it's just, oh, no, we had to assume that no one in London ever noticed them bringing in roughly all the weapons, you know, and you know, no one in on a ship, no one in the shipyard, no police, nobody once. Oh, and nobody noticed when, you know, 100 guards went missing and were replaced with terrorists. No one noticed that. You know, they've been doing it slowly over the last 6 days. You know, so it was stupid after stupid after stupid. So I had to give it an F.
That's London Has Fallen.
Yeah, that was London Has Fallen.
Oh, boy. Wow.
I mean, it already bombed at the box office, too, so it's not like my opinion was in the minority.
because of America.
I love war movies. I love action movies. So when one is America. When an action movie is so bad I can't even defend it, then that's how I know it's bad. Like, usually I can find something, oh, but this was fun, or this, like, Gods of Egypt, it was a dumb movie, but it was a beautiful dumb movie. So I, you know, at least had that one redeeming factor.
I love the trailer for Gods of Egypt, where it's like, okay, Gerard Butler, not Egyptian.
I've been told I'm not allowed to discuss whitewashing at work anymore. As a white person, I'm not allowed to be the most upset person in the room. Apparently.
Wow. I mean, I'm just, you know, you look at that and you go, is there anyone at all that is even vaguely Egyptian in this movie? No?
Well,
all right, moving on.
What's funny is when they looked into it, the Egypt of that time period, most people were black at that time in the Mesopotamian Valley. So really the only person is I forget his name, the dude playing the one god, he was playing the god of wisdom, a black dude. And funnily enough, he was the only good character in the whole movie. So I'm like, oh, maybe you should have cast more minorities because you got all the good acting out of the only one that you put in the fucking movie.
Well, it was like that stupid website that was like, and we cost Star Wars $4 million and we're boycotting this film because it has a female lead and a black male lead and a Latino lead. And it's like, really, really, people?
You
honestly,
cost them $4 million? Oh, poor guys only made $10
billion. Yeah. I think the only time race should matter is if you're doing a film in a specific time or place. You know,
right.
If you're doing a movie in Egypt, you should cast people who, you know, fucking represent that area. Or if you're doing a movie about like racists, then obviously you fucking cast, you know, the right people. But yeah, I do moderately agree with Hollywood. Like, we cast for the best actor. Cool. If you're just doing a movie about like modern day New York and you cast 15 people and they're a little bit of a mix, maybe one more white guy than preferred, but still you're at least pretending to try. But yeah, if you do a period piece and you fucking don't cast anyone from that period, then you're just being a jackass. You know, it's, to me, it's no better than having white guys play Asians in the 50s. You know,
I'll say the best racially questionable casting that I think can ever go down in history is Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
But at least that one was for humor.
Yeah.
Hey, how does Gladiator get a pass then?
It doesn't.
Oh yeah, it does.
No, it's because, I mean, I'll say one thing. We've been growing at leaps and bounds in terms, and this is the internet.
Wait, Oliver, what was his name? Oliver, who was
Stone?
What was the actor? No, the actor in Gladiator that played. He died during right after the movie was done film.
Oh, shit.
Oliver. Oh, come on. Jason, help me out.
I'm blanking Lawrence, on this one.
Lawrence Olivier?
No, no, no.
Definitely not.
Hold on a minute.
To the IMDBs,
the
everyone.
The Gladiator gets a pass.
No one's talking. Oliver. They're just everybody's on IMDb right now looking this shit up.
Oliver Reed.
Reed, okay.
Is the whitest guy in the world, yet he's playing, you know, what would obviously have been back then a much darker skinned person.
Yeah, yeah. But
that whole movie gets a pass.
I don't think it does. It's just in the last 15 years, we have gotten a lot more vocal about the bullshit that Hollywood's been trying to do.
Technically, it gets a pass then.
Because that was in the past.
Yeah, it's a pass.
Well, it's actually, I read an article.
Is it a pass or is it just that it wasn't important back in,
I think
the,
it's
in
that
2000 and whatever? What is it?
They snuck it in 2000, I think.
2000.
It's that.
Yeah, 2000. It, May of 2000 came out.
It's that they snuck it through. Like, I don't think we were as vocal about this. I think
Gladiator's old enough to get a license.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's depressing.
Because go back and look at a couple months ago at work, we watched Rush Hour. That's a racist fucking movie, top to bottom. But in the 90s, oh, that was hilarious. I think I can say proudly as a culture.
To be fair, Chris Tucker is a living stereotype.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
Chris Tucker's best role will forever be from The Fifth Element. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Kobe, my man.
They actually didn't have him act. They just let him go get his own wardrobe.
He had no script, no wardrobe. He just showed up and they didn't know what to do with him.
Like, well, screw it. Put him in the movie.
Man, I want to be on set. What are you talking about?
I ain't got no fire. He said that is the greatest role he will ever play.
And hopefully he won't ever play another role because I don't like him at all. But that's me being kind of an asshole. I'm sorry, Chris Tucker, if you're listening.
Oh,
I guaranteed
he's listening. He's one of our
no
big
knock
subscribers.
I feel that you demanded too much money to be in Friday, the sequel. So I've never liked you since then. And that's honesty because I like
you. Okay, so you gave London Has Fallen an F and Gods of Egypt, a D. What else?
A
what
C
else
or
have you
D.
seen?
Oh God!
What have you seen that's good?
Oh, that's good. Oh,
well, then good. Then yeah. Gonna...
Hey Bob, what movies have you seen lately?
Zootopia. That's it.
See, I'm trying to get you in on this, Bob. I'm trying.
I can't. No, see, you don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm living vicariously through.
Well, Bob was like eating a sandwich, and I asked him a question. And he had to like throw the sandwich down, pick up the mic.
Let's see. I'm working backwards. London Has Fallen, Gods of Egypt, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Dirty Grandpa, 13 Hours, The Forest, Star Wars Episode 7. That's the last time I liked a movie.
Huh.
But the joke for Drunk Monkeys is literally everyone else's byline ends with and not watching the movies that Taras does. So the joke is that I'm the go-to guy who goes and watches terrible movies and reports back. Like, I actively volunteer. I try and review every horror film because that's my genre. And then if there's no horror movie coming out, I would just look at, okay, what's the biggest release or the one that looks like it's going to be the worst for the weekend? And I will actively volunteer to see that one 9 times out of 10.
What do you think is the best horror movie you've ever seen?
Ever?
The best or your favorite?
Well, we talk about, like, you know, the one that fucked me over the most was when I got to watch Poltergeist when I was 7. So, you know, obviously that one. Poltergeist holds up great. I would say my favorite horror movie of all time is The Thing, the original of The Thing.
Mm-hmm.
The
Jason,
best
what about
special
you?
Effects.
I got one for you. This is a horror film that not a lot of people have seen. It was made in the early 80s. Every single person who has seen it has exactly the same reaction to this film. So I'm curious if you guys have seen it. It's called The Entity.
Nope.
I've heard of it.
It sounds...
This film, it stars Barbara Hershey.
Is there some racism in that?
Yeah, this is a film. The whole thing about this movie is it's a poltergeist that repeatedly attacks and rapes a woman. And
I'm pretty sure I have seen this one, but it was a long time ago.
This film scared me so hard I shat stuff I hadn't even eaten.
Hey, you talk about psychological. Have you ever seen The Changeling?
Oh yeah, great movie.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite mind fuck. Like, you know.
Joe, do you watch horror movies?
Not at all. I'm not He's a horror puss. Guy. I'm a gigantic you, pussy. Bob?
That I could be a I'll just say, if you guys want to see a scary goddamn movie, because every single person I've turned on to The Entity and they watch that film, I'm like, so what'd you think? And they're like, yeah, fuck that movie and fuck you for recommending it.
I'm gonna go get my hands on it then, because I don't remember it. It doesn't look familiar to where it's like, oh, I definitely saw it, but some parts of it I'm like, from looking at the screenshots, I'm like, are you sure I haven't seen that? So now I got to go get my hands on it.
Yeah. So on the horror tip, what are your guys' favorite horror games?
Okay.
So that we could talk about the video games on our video game podcast.
I need to just have a side podcast.
I'd say the best horror game I've ever played is Advanced Warfare. That is the scariest piece of garbage I've ever seen. I don't know. Terrible.
The scariest horror games, the original Silent Hill. I know everyone loves Silent Hill 2, and it is absolutely brilliant, but the original Silent Hill is fucked up. And then the first Fatal Frame, when you play that. I'll tell you, the one that is kind of a almost a revolution in game design, and I'm amazed that it was free, was PT.
Yeah, PT.
Yeah.
PT is free.
I turned it off. I didn't need the stress.
I was playing Layers of Fear. I was streaming that yesterday and the Wednesday before, and someone actually came in and commented that this was the game that PT looked like it was going to be. Have any of you guys played Layers of Fear to confirm or deny that? Because I never played PT.
Yeah,
I don't play it, but I've seen. Yeah,
I made that connection when we were first talking about Layers of Fear, where it felt like where PT was picking up.
Because I finally streamed the full version of Layers of Fear, and a couple people were just really, really, really playing up that angle. Yes.
Hey, Bob.
What about you, Bob? We're including you whether you want to be here or not.
Favorite horror game, Bob?
No, I have to go with PT too, because I wouldn't even play it. I have my brother-in-law who loves horror games. I'm like, I'm just going to watch it, play it. I'm not going to throw the controller at the TV. But I was amazed at such kind of like the whole repetitiveness that just messed with your head. You would just become unhinged. You're going through this hallway in this.
It's
the
same fucking hallway again.
Yeah, but then something would happen that it was just different, and that was enough. It was just brilliant that way. I thought.
That's where Layers of Fear got me, because you'd look at something and then look back at where you were, and the whole thing shifted. It was completely different now. Like, just so you had that feeling that you can't turn your back to the game itself, as it was always changing behind you.
And if you guys want to hear an interview with the people who made Layers of Fear, check the SML Podcast back catalog for our episode where we interviewed the guys from Bloober Team, makers of Layers of Fear.
Where I did ask them how many drugs, how many drugs and how many night terrors combined to make that game.
That was back when we only got a Steam copy of the game. And Pappy was the computer guy. And then we set up an interview and he couldn't make the interview. So I had to interview the guy myself while Pappy just emailed in a question, like sent in a couple of questions to ask.
Yeah. So, well, wasn't it because they could only do like fucking daytime hours because they're in Australia?
No, they're in Europe somewhere.
Well, yeah, they could only do daytime, and I have that whole job thing going on.
I have a job.
I tell you, it gets in the way of everything I want to do. Stupid job.
Speaking of getting in the way of things that we all need to do, we're at about 2 hours now, and I know, Bob, you have to be up early tomorrow. Pappy, you can't stay up much longer because of your medication. I'm going to have to do another episode like tomorrow or Saturday to actually do the reviews we need to do this week.
Joe,
if you want, you could just leave. If you want, you could just leave it with Jason and I will just keep going.
Oh, sounds good.
I had no problem doing like a 30-40 minute this weekend to actually cover the games that you made me play.
We'll figure something out, but we might as well ask, Bob, what's the word on iDarb Windows 10?
Oh boy, I'm in the dark as much as you guys are. It's I haven't done any audio updates since like the most recent stuff that came out. I had done those updates last year, those audio things. So I'm on the other ocean project, so I'm completely out of the loop.
What are you working on now?
I'm working on a pinball machine that I can't say anything about, but
ooh, pinball.
It's another Stern one. I did the sound for the new Kiss pinball machine that came out last year, and now
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm doing another one now. Those are really fun.
Nice.
Can they just have you do like all the sounds, like including all the pinball, all the noises of clicking and clacking and everything?
Well, it's funny. It's you know, being so used to doing video game audio, it's a whole new thing when you have to kind of compete with that. It's kind of a combination of half casino machine where you're trying to get people's attention, but you also have to leave space for people to be able to hear those, you know, bumpers popping when you hit them. So,
oh, yeah.
Cool. I would pay $1 to play a pinball game that instead of sound effects, it's just Bob going like bing, bong, boing, cling, 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 cling.
Like not even excited, just bing.
Bing, cling, clong, bling, extra ball, bling, bling, bling. Thunk, thunk.
I'm gonna have to make an extra. I'm gonna have to make a special build for you. Then I've actually got a Frankenstein machine in my studio so that I can send code to make that happen. It will be the most disappointing pinball game of your life.
All right, so David, you have to develop a brand new pinball game for Xbox One. Bob, you have to do all the sound effects with just your voice, and then.
And then we'll play it.
Then no one will buy it.
We're going to play it.
Nobody will buy it.
Won't get it. Oh, all right.
We're trying to build relationships here. So, David, what's up next with loot?
Jump Jet Rex in April, late April.
So that's still coming next month, huh?
That's still coming next month. We should have code soon. So we're excited. About that, we'll be at Xbox One. We will be at PAX East promoting it with Maker Studios and Polaris, their show Polaris, and Hip Hop Gamer. It will probably be the week before launch. We'll see.
And when's the Power Rangers table or theme coming out?
Should be out sometime in April, right, Jason?
Should be, yeah. First, we got to get some shakies.
Shakies tomorrow. That's in the forecast.
So when's the shitting happening? Tomorrow afternoon, evening?
Tomorrow night.
Do you have a ballpark figure on that?
Well, sometimes it's immediate. Three. Sometimes it's just immediate. Depends what you eat.
Well, tag us in a tweet. We'll be sure to retweet it when you guys are shitting your brains out.
Well, yeah, in solidarity, I'll just go eat some ice cream. Since I'm lactose intolerant, I'll just pretend that's what Shakey's feels like.
It's relatively close. I mean, you have, you know, just regret, pain, misery, visions of a great plague. It's cramps. Pretty intense.
So, like when I visit Joe.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
Dragged him into that.
Yeah.
But we will be doing gameplay videos again, Joe. So we get ready for the SML podcast Jump Jet Rex gameplay video.
Before anything, what's the game rating?
That's a good question. I think it's What is it, Jason? I forgot.
Hold on a second.
It might be E.
All right, then Joe, you might want me to pick that one up since you can't.
I think it's teen. Actually, I think it's teen.
I think it's teen as well.
Just so I know, like, because I know last time I was like, well, Cuber, I got to tone it down. And you're like, no, but people like the swearing. So I swore, and you're like, it's an E game. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I thought I was okay to swear.
Yeah.
So now I'll know.
We're actually checking on the rating right now.
AO,
huh?
Yeah, AO. Is AO.
Unexpected, but...
I mean, it's jump jet ranks with gratuitous sex and violence and drugs and glorification of alcohol and narcotics.
I don't think you get an AO just for violence, right? Has anybody ever been in any game?
No, there's got to be nudity for an AO.
No, I think hatred is AO for just the violence.
I've never heard of hatred, so I can't.
It's PC only. It got super controversial because it's basically about murdering everybody, including innocent people begging to not die.
What wasn't there a fucking Wii game where you could murder people by putting plastic bags over their head and shit?
Manhunt 2.
That was just M.
That got censored.
Okay.
Hatred.
Man, that's AO for a reason.
Famous.
The Punisher was originally AO, and that got edited down. That's why
Just for a sec, Punisher Warzone, one of the best films ever made. I'm just putting that out there.
Back to movie, son of a bitch. I have no idea what kind of music to play this week because we really didn't talk about any games. Oh, man. What did you say? I didn't hear you.
Are you on disc 2 yet?
Probably. Oh, Chronicles of Time? Yeah, I could do more Chronicles of Time.
Yeah, I mean, there's 5 discs of music. We're good for the rest of the year.
Yeah, true. Well, I guess we should try wrapping this up. Bob, Jason, David, it has been awesome having all of you guys on here chatting with us and making sure we got absolutely nothing accomplished.
This was so much more fun than the usual episode.
Which is an accomplishment.
It is. We accomplished nothing, so we accomplished accomplishing that.
When I don't have to hear Joe talk about a game and then yell at me for not knowing about the game I'm supposed to talk about, that is an accomplishment. So I thank you guys.
Now, I do have a question about Shaker.
Never's a long time, Bob. Never's a long time.
Is it, I gotta look it up now. Is it just pizza? Is that what it is?
No, it's so much more. It's so much more. It's the Ebola salad bar. It's the 451
buffet.
Did my Skype mess up or did everything just go quiet for like 30 seconds?
It's the Soylent Green potatoes. The Soylent Green potatoes are amazing.
So this is like Pizza Hut from the 90s chicken. Where they had the buffet bar too?
Yes, but to the nth degree.
It's basically the Andromeda strain of fast food. You have to try it.
Soylent Green potatoes mixed in with the chicken, which is fantastic. I mean, that will colon blow you so fast that you might not have time to get out of your seat in the restaurant to get somewhere where you can offload.
Yeah.
Okay, I am looking up right now, and it's
delicious.
The closest one to me is 6 hours and 40 minutes, so I'm going to have to...
Worth twice the drive.
It's worth it because you must experience the biological equivalent of Krakatoa south of Java.
Here's what you do, Bob. You take the kids, you put them in the car, you drive to Shakey's. First you drive to Target, you get some adult diapers, then you get go to Shakey's. You fill up, right, on a warm day. Then you get in the car, and the last one to shit their pants wins.
That's a good road game. You know, I wish I was making this up, but I just routed it, and it says, this place has been reported closed.
Aww.
Shut down. That's not, I'm sure for health violations.
It's not necessary.
Just make the drive. It'll be worth the risk. Because either they're open and you get to experience the pant shitting awesomeness, or they're closed and you dodged a bullet. So
that's true.
It's like a win-win either way.
Your kids will remember it forever.
Oh, yes, they will.
It's just one of those lawsuits. You have to do it. You have to experience it.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
I don't think this show's ever going to end, is it?
And this comes from a guy, Jason, who eats Round Table pizza by choice.
This is true. I love Round Table pizza. I was born and raised with it. I love it. It's kind of like, you know, someone from the Midwest, you bring up White Castle, and it's like, yep, that's just what we have. And I unabashedly love Round Table. Eat it voluntarily. Yes,
Jason,
there's something wrong with me, but that's okay.
Jason, White Castle is not a Round Table of pizzas. It's not that. When you talk about burgers versus Round Table, is below frozen pizza.
It's not that bad. It's to be fair, it's better than Shakey's, but then again, so is everything. We go to Shakey's specifically because we want to suffer. It's exciting because you're going to have lunch at a place that's actively trying to kill you.
Oh God.
And you get through with it and it's like, yes, yes, I survived. Yes.
Yes. These are the conversations that we have all day.
Oh, all right. My Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know how to end this. I don't know how to this.
Well, on a happy note, I just learned that Izzy's going to try and do the Black Cauldron series again by Lloyd Alexander. So I'm ending on a happy note with that. So
I'm not even sure what that is.
My favorite books as a kid.
Awesome.
The Chronicles of Prydian.
Quick, we can't end on a happy pappy note. Someone make a shit joke.
Here, I'll end on this. There's 5 Shakey's locations in Mexico. I dare you to go to one of those.